I hope that everyone has had a good afternoon with visiting and being able to be with one another. And again, we've had so many of you in our thoughts and our prayers, and it's good to be able, at the close of another day, to be able to assemble together and worship God in spirit and truth once again. Again, it was stated that we have visitors among us, and we're thankful for that. We hope that you'll come and be with us at every opportunity that you have. We have love to have visitors, and we hope that you'll feel welcome. We hope that your interest will be in taking out the Bible and following along with us, making sure that what we say is in harmony with what the Bible teaches. As I stated this morning, we want to do chapter 10, 9 and 10 of the book of Hebrews, and of course we studied from chapter 10 this morning, but then we're going to go backwards a little bit and study from chapter 9. As we study a very common passage from the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, something that is very familiar with each and every one of us, and that is from Hebrews chapter 9, and in verse 27, as we think about this evening, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Again, that's Hebrews 9:27. That may read a little bit different depending on what version of the Bible that you use. But we're very familiar with what the Hebrew writer states in this passage. Again, the context of this, he's talking about the fact that Jesus died once, that He offered once and for all time a superior sacrifice than the sacrifice of bulls and goats under the Old Testament law of Moses. And so we don't have to offer a continual offering for sin. Jesus did that on the cross. Now that doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything when we sin and fall short of doing what God would have us to do, because we know and understand, according to places like Acts the 8th chapter, that we have to make confession to God in prayer as we repent of things that we do wrong. But I want us to think about just very simple things, very basic things, fundamental things that we can make application of in our lives this evening relative to death and the judgment. The first one I want us to think about is the fact that death is a reality. I don't need to tell you that. You already know that. You understand that we are going to die. We turn on the TV and we know that. We have loved ones that pass away, and we understand that. I understand that I'm not going to make it out of this life alive. And you understand that for yourself. We look at places like Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And in verse 5, when the Bible says that the living know that they shall die, we understand that. Now, sometimes we may not feel comfortable about talking about that because most people, generally speaking, want to live as long as they can. Most of us expect, or we want to have, we long to have a long life upon this earth, don't we? It doesn't always work out that way, but we want to have a long life. So we understand that this life is going to come to a close. Turn with me, if you will, again to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. God had blessed Solomon with superior knowledge and wisdom that so far passed what other people had. And notice what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. He says, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Now someone may say, well, preacher, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Well, keep in mind that in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, he's really picturing growing old and dying. That's what he's talking about. And so he starts out in verse 1 by saying, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And then he talks about growing old. And in verse 7, he says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. I remember seeing a picture not too long ago that someone had posted that, in essence, had stated that we shouldn't think of ourselves any higher than that upon which we walk. I thought that was a pretty sobering statement. We walk upon what God created us from dust. And one of these days, the Spirit is going to separate from the body and we're going to return to the dust that we were taken from. And we need to understand in Luke 16, 19 through 31. We're not going to read all of that for sake of time. But I want you to keep in mind what we read concerning Lazarus and the rich man. You remember that incident that the Lord gave? I hesitate to say story. You remember that? The account of a rich man and a poor beggar. Both of them lived. They had drastically different lives. There was a man who fared sumptuously every day. And then you had the poor beggar, Lazarus, who just desired to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. But both of them died. Death came to both of them. This life is made up of all kinds of different individuals. You have rich people, you have poor people, healthy people, sick people, young people, old people, and everywhere in between. But death will come to all. And we need to understand that. Death will come to me, death will come to you. I don't know when, but that will happen. The important thing is that we understand that, and we live our lives in such a way that we're prepared for that when it does happen. And so, death is a reality. But I want you to think about this. The grave is not the end. I've talked to you about that along the way over the past couple of years. That the grave is not the end of man. I'm thankful for that. And it's sad that we have people in our society, in our world, that want you and me to believe that when we die, that's the end. We cease to exist. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that we will live somewhere for all eternity, either in the joys of heaven or the pains and sorrows of a place called hell. I want to go to heaven. Do you? I hope that you do. That's the right answer. We should all say, I want to go to heaven. We should all desire to do that. But we need to understand that the grave is not the end of man. Again, Luke chapter 16 points that out very clearly for us. In our text that we started this lesson, in Hebrews 9:27, but as it is appointed unto men once to die, did he put the period right there? Did he stop the statement there? There's a reason that he didn't. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, what do you mean after this? After death, the judgment. We're going to talk about that more in just a moment. But understand that when you die and when I die, that's not the end of me. Now, this body's going to go on and see corruption. It'll decay. Again, it'll return to the dust from which it was taken. But Donnie Oliver will continue to exist and await the judgment. I want you to think about the judgment for just a moment. The Bible declares in no uncertain terms that there's going to be a judgment day. Most religious-minded people have no need to be, that point proven to them or convinced of that. But we need to understand that there's coming a judgment day. And so it matters what we do in this life. It matters what we think, it matters what we do, it matters what we say. And a lot of people are going to be surprised come the judgment day. I shared that sermon with you before, maybe as an invitation, about surprises come the judgment day. I want us to think about that. Some people are going to be very surprised at the scope of the judgment day. What I mean by scope is the fact that who will be there. You know, the Bible teaches that come the judgment day that everybody will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In places like John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which, you know the next word, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. You know, the judgment day is going to include everybody that has ever lived. From Adam all the way down to the end of time. Read Matthew chapter 25. verses 31 through 46 sometimes and see who that includes. But there may be those who will be surprised that they are present come the judgment day. Will you be surprised about that? I hope not. I hope that we are anticipating that day of reckoning, that day of judgment, so we're living our lives so that we can be ready when the Lord returns. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, the day of the Lord will come. Not maybe, not perhaps, not incidentally, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Remember that passage? That tells us that that's going to happen. That surely He will return again. But some individuals may be surprised at who the judge is going to be. If I were to ask you, come the judgment day, who will we stand before of? What would your response be? Again, it's sad that sometimes we live our lives as though we have to give an account to one another or to man. That's not the case. Notice what the Bible says concerning that in places like John chapter 5, verse 22. John 5, 22, Jesus said, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto who?
The Son.
That's who we're going to stand. It's God's judgment, but God many times through, from the beginning on down, did things through instrumentality. In other words, God created all things, but He did it through the instrumentality of His Son. Remember that? Genesis 1, 1 through 3, and John chapter 1, at least the first six verses of that chapter, that He created all things by the Word, by His Son. The Hebrew writer stated that in Hebrews chapter 1, the first few verses. And so we're going to stand before His Son. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, as we think about the judge on that day. Yes, it's God's judgment. But we're going to stand before His Son. Romans 14, begin with verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Just this afternoon I saw another picture that someone had posted that said atheism is a temporary condition because all will stand before the Lord on that great judgment day. Think about that. Think about the implication of that. That we're going to stand before the one whose side was pierced, whose blood was shed for our sins and our iniquities. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And again, I'm convinced that you already know these passages. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Have you made preparation for that this evening? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Are you living as you should? I'll start with me. Am I living the way that I should? In Revelation 1, verse 7, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him. And all nations shall wail because of Him. So I've told you about that, so no need to be surprised about the judge come the great judgment day since we know about that. But what about the standard? No doubt, in my mind, many people will be surprised come the judgment day about the standard of judgment. And I say that because so many times individuals live their life, their daily lives, based upon what they think they ought to be doing. Based upon the way they see things, don't they? You have friends or family that live lives such as that. Why do you do that? You may ask them. Well, that's the way I thought it ought to be. That statement, behold, I thought, will get us in trouble just about every time. Remember Naaman of 2 Kings chapter 5? When the good news came to him about what he should do in order to be cleansed of his leprosy, "Behold, I thought," he said. We've got to be careful with that. "Behold, I thought." The Bible teaches us that God's ways are higher than man's ways. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher than ours. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 talks about that. What's the standard going to be? Opinions? The Centennial paper? The Hazard Herald or the Corbin Tribune or whatever it may be? The New York Times, is that going to be the standard come the judgment day? Not a bit. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, "In the day," and he's talking about the judgment day in that passage, "in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." This is going to be the standard come the judgment day. The Word of God. Remember John 12, verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings has one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." That picture that is given for us in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15 of the judgment day. When he saw the throne and he saw the books that were open, the small and the dead stood before the throne. The books were open, and the Bible says they were all judged out of the books according to the works. How important is it then that we study this book and that we make application of it in our lives, that we be ready for that judgment day, that we know what the standard is. Yes, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me." John 14, 1 through 6. But the things that were given to the apostles and the writers of the Bible were penned by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17, and they are the commandments of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14, 37. But here's another one. The fact that it's going to be an individual basis. You're not going to give an account for what Donnie has done, and I'm not going to give an account for what you have done. But I'm going to give an account for the things that I've done. I'm not going to get by with anything that I have failed to make right in this life, things I failed to repent of, things I failed to let go of. Isn't that a sobering thought? Let me ask you this. Can you look into the depths of your life, of your heart, and think about things that you have struggled with that has been very difficult to turn loose of? No doubt there's things in your life that no one knows but you, except God. God, of course, knows. Hebrews 4:13 talks about that. That we've struggled to turn loose of. It'd be very hard to let go of some things. But we've got to do it. And I'm convinced and I know from firsthand experience, I'll share that with you, that we can turn loose of even the most difficult things that we thought, there's no way I can ever overcome that. Remember this morning I began the sermon, but even before I began the sermon, talking about the fact that God is faithful.
Amen.
Think about what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When he talks about the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I was having a very, very difficult time in my life several years ago in the late 90s, and really I just did not know how I was going to overcome it. Didn't know what the next day was going to bring relative to this particular situation. I was studying one day, and this is the verse that I read. And I immediately underscored it in my Bible because it was so relevant to what I was going through. Notice what he says. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Now we can stop right there. Now notice what he's saying. He's saying there's nothing that can befall upon you that someone else hasn't already went through. Now, sometimes we look at it and we say, I'm all alone. I'm the only one that's ever went through whatever it may be. And then we read passages like this. There's nothing, no matter how difficult it is, that can come upon me that someone at some point may have already struggled with it. It's common to man. But notice the next part. But God is faithful, who will not allow or suffer you to be tempted above what you're able. And not only that, the text says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Yes, it may be difficult, but God will be faithful to us and He'll provide a way for us to overcome it, to get out of it. That helps us overcome, to know that God is that faithful to us. But again, the individuality come the judgment day. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. The whole duty of man is to fear God. Here's the conclusion, he says. To fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole or the whole duty of man, for God shall bring all things into judgment. With every secret thing, there's going to be a judgment day. But not only that, the reward. The reward. Notice what the Bible says about that. Revelation 22, verse 12, Jesus said, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his work shall be. We're going to get a reward one of these days. Christ promised that to those who obey Him. We've talked throughout the book of Hebrews about the judgment day, about the rest that remains to the people of God, about what lies in store for those who have served God. Places like Revelation 14, 13. Right, blessed are they which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their works, or their labors rather, and their works do follow them. Again, we understand that life is brief. No matter how old we live, it's still brief when you think about eternity. What are we spending our time doing? I commended you this morning. I want to do the same this evening because in spite of the fact that you came out this morning, you've chose to be here again this evening. And I'm encouraged by that. That tells me that you're interested in spiritual things. And we ought to be. Things that will span all the ages for all eternity. We can't take anything with us, but folks, we can take the things that we've done. Our works will follow us. And we'll give an account of those things one day. Perhaps you're here this evening, you never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You have an opportunity to, by hearing the gospel, Romans 10, 17. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8, 24, Mark 16, 16. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13, 3. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And being immersed, baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and in verse 38. Maybe you've done that. But you're here this evening and you realize that you've not been living as faithful as you should. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that when it comes your time to close your eyes and drift off into eternity, heaven will be your eternal home. We encourage you to become a Christian this very day. Why not come forward as together we stand and sing?